The Maricopa County Attorney's Office has faced stinging criticism in recent months, in large part because of gang-related charges that were filed against activists who participated in Black Lives Matter protests and rallies. A couple of months ago, those charges were dropped. But questions continue to be raised about how the office and its prosecutors carry out their duties and whether transparency plays enough of a role. The office has announced a new policy it hopes will improve the situation. Prosecutors will have to review any available video evidence before felony charges are pursued, though there are a few exceptions. With me to talk about that new development is Maricopa County Attorney Alistair Adell. Why make these changes, and do you truly believe this can make a positive difference?
We've always encouraged our lawyers, our prosecutors, to review all evidence that is available to us at the time of charging. But with the advances in technology and our collaboration with law enforcement agencies, it has made it much more accessible and easy for us as prosecutors to look at video evidence prior to charging if it's available to us. So we thought it was important that we, solidify that, formalize it, and put it into writing.
Is this an acknowledgement in any way that there was concern that people were being previously charged with certain crimes without a proper review of video evidence?
Well, it was certainly a factor. However, this was in the works for a long time. When I started and I was appointed back in October of 2019, we began a review of all of our policies to see if we were working efficiently and effectively and ethically. So in doing so, this is one of the policies that we looked at, whether it was in some other form or didn't exist, things like that, to make sure that we were treating everybody that was similarly situated equally. And that means that we effectively look at technological advances. So this has been in the works for quite a while, but certainly there are external factors that, go into validating why we did this and why it's so important that we have a policy in place like this.
You have a really large office to run. You're not obviously running police departments, but is there a concern at all for you, for prosecutors? Should the public be concerned that even though video evidence is vitally important, that officers are supposed to turn on their body-worn cameras, they don't always. I know you can't really tell them to do that, but is that ever an issue, and can this modify that in any way?
Well, you're right. We can't direct law enforcement policies or their investigative techniques, but if it's available, then we want to be able to access that information swiftly and be able to disclose it to the defense counsel for the accused. And it's something that I hope encourages them to have more widespread use of available body-worn cameras and to upload that evidence as quickly as possible. And like I said, we've got a really good relationship with the exchange of information that comes from law enforcement for things like this. But we're not just talking about body-worn cameras, we're talking about all video evidence as well. So we heavily rely on law enforcement to let us know when that evidence exists and to make it available to us.
Now, we understand this new policy does have a few exceptions just in case. Can you explain what those are and why those might be important?
Sure. The exceptions are, for instance, law enforcement might arrest somebody who has, an extensive criminal history or they pose a danger to the community, but we don't yet have the ability to look at video footage such as a body-worn camera prior to the deadline of charging. Because when somebody is booked into jail, we have a certain time frame, 48 hours, to file charges to keep the current release conditions that were imposed by a judge in place. Otherwise, they could get released. So that is one factor. But also, if we have other corroborating evidence, such as, independent identification, things like that, that will allow us to file charges without either having body-worn camera footage available or not having it yet, as long as there's a reasonable likelihood of conviction based on the information that we do have at the time of charging, that is an exception.
I want to bring up the word transparency. Let me ask you where transparency fits into this. Is this something as well that you're trying to send a message to the public that your office will be as transparent as possible when it comes to when you file charges, why you file charges?
Absolutely. We have a duty to be transparent. We're not hiding anything. And we are so lucky to live in a state like Arizona where we have very, very liberal disclosure rules that we have to disclose everything that we have. And that's important to do, and of course, unless it's work product. But this is something that I think Arizona has prided itself on. Whatever information that we have that's available, including something that might be exculpatory, is going to be disclosed to the defense. So it is part of my overall ongoing commitment to obviously our adherence to the law and our ethical rules, but to transparency in the community with topics such as this and moving forward on prosecution of cases, but also in everything else that we do as well.
Governor Ducey earlier this year signed a budget that included a provision making it more difficult for the public and media to see some of this footage from body-worn cameras. How does this policy fit into that? Could there be any issues down the road with this?
Well, we do not represent the governor or the law enforcement agencies, with the exception of I am the lawyer for the Maricopa County Sheriff. I can tell you that once criminal charges have been filed, if there is body-worn camera footage, that is evidence. There's a lot of interactions that law enforcement have that don't make it into criminal charges. They might be civil in nature, just a traffic stop, things like that, that we would never look at regardless. And so I don't have any say or dictation over what the policies are for law enforcement or what comes from the governor. But I can tell you, as far as what comes out of the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, if we have filed charges, then that body-worn camera footage does become part of the evidence that we disclose.
I alluded to it before that there have been serious concerns expressed about how your office handled certain prosecution. I want to ask you in the bigger sense, when you're running an office that big, how nimble can you be? How flexible can you be? And also, how flexible and open do you need to be in order to respond to needs of the public or concerns of the public? But at the same time, your office, is there a balancing act when you're working with as many prosecutors as you are and managing them?
Well, we are the third largest prosecution agency in the nation behind Chicago and LA. And we've got 1,000 employees and around 350 prosecutors. We want to make sure that everybody is working efficiently, effectively, and ethically. That's why we have policies such as this with body-worn cameras in place, to make sure that we are treating people equally. Now, if we find during the life cycle of a case that things change, and they do, cases could get better, cases could get worse, but we change course as is appropriate on a case-by-case basis. So in specific cases, if we need to drop charges, we are going to do the right thing. If we find that the evidence doesn't support what we have charged, we will change course. And so we expect our lawyers to continually reevaluate whether they receive additional information from the police or if they receive additional information from the defense team as well. That happens quite often, that the defense will bring forward either mitigating evidence, exculpatory evidence, and it is incumbent upon us that we look at everything. And that's our responsibility. So again, cases change over their life cycle. Like I said, some get better, some get worse, but it's important for us to be able to do what is right in every single circumstance.
Alistair Adell is Maricopa County Attorney. Alistair, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Use of video evidence, specifically what's learned from police body cams, is a growing part of prosecutions. Michael White, professor in ASU School of Criminology and Criminal Justice, is an expert in that area. I spoke with him earlier and began by asking for his opinion on the new policy from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
Steve, really what I think this is about is body-worn camera footage. And although there are certainly other types of evidence that come into play, the county attorney, prosecutors from, you know, all across the United States have been put in a pretty tough bind by the adoption of body-worn cameras by law enforcement agencies. So if you think about the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, you know, they're receiving felony cases from, probably more than a dozen different police departments in the Valley: Phoenix, Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale. So every day, I would assume that there are several hundred felony arrests that are made by police officers in all of those agencies throughout the Valley. And those cases are funneled to the prosecutor's office, to the county attorney's office. And so then the prosecutors who are assigned those cases are in the position of having to read police reports, read all of the available evidence that they have to make a decision about charging. And the diffusion of body-worn cameras has made their job exponentially more difficult, because it has dramatically increased the amount of evidence that has to be reviewed. So I think that the policy decision that's been made is a good one. It's an excellent one. It creates some uniformity in the office itself. And it's focused on the cases where body-worn camera footage and other types of evidence are going to have the most impact, which are those where, the suspect is caught in the act, or there's something on the video that clearly identifies the suspect. So I think it's an excellent starting point.
Is this something that, with the number of cases that office deals with, as you mentioned, with the different jurisdictions, what is this going to do in terms of the swift carrying out of justice? Or is this going to give prosecutors who already probably have a lot on their plate, almost too much?
The balance that's going to have to be struck is based on what you just said. The need to review the evidence versus the requirements regarding swift justice. And there are constitutional requirements for time periods from arrest to charging and throughout the system. So those will have to continue to be met. And there are a couple of different ways the county attorney can respond to this. Certainly one is to increase staffing, and that of course comes with some budgetary concerns. Some prosecutors' offices have across the country have delegated this kind of review to paralegals and others in the office who may have more time to do this kind of evidentiary review, but the challenge, and like I said, this puts the county attorney in a tough bind, is meeting the competing requirements of those two things, of the need for swift justice, but also the need to review all the evidence that's available for you before making charging decisions.
Michael, how often is video evidence from body-worn cameras really come in handy and make a difference in some of these cases?
We researchers haven't been able to answer that question yet. So we really don't know how often body-worn camera footage comes into play when prosecutors are making charging decisions, or even further downstream, whether judges or juries are making decisions at trial. So we don't know the answer to that yet. We do know that there are certain types of cases where it seems to be particularly relevant, cases involving drugs and alcohol, so DUIs in particular. If a sobriety check is recorded, the use of that video by the prosecutor and even at trial can be very, very useful, because instead of having a police officer on a stand describing the behavior of the person who was arrested months before, instead you just you press play and the prosecutor, the judge, the jury can watch and actually see the person and hear them slur words or stagger or whatever it might be. And so certainly those types of cases, it's relevant. And the other where there's been a little bit of work that shows that body cameras can have a real impact is with domestic violence cases. And I think the reason for that is that domestic violence cases it's a type of case where oftentimes the victim may be non-cooperative or may recant his or her statements further down, downstream, or days, weeks after the initial incident. And if there's body-worn camera footage of the incident, even if the victim recants, the prosecutor may still have the evidence necessary to proceed with the case, because you can have the video and audio that'll capture the victim's statements at the time, right as the police have responded. The video will show any injuries that the victim might have. So those two types of cases, I think, are clear-cut ones where we're going to see continued impact of this technology.
Michael White is a professor in ASU School of Criminology and Criminal Justice, and you are listening to the show.